for the reading of the scripture this evening. Take your Bible, open to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'll begin reading in verse number 16, and we will read to the end of the chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 16, the Bible says, "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent, upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for giving us a copy of your word. Now, Lord, we ask now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God saith to the churches. God, we need you. Help us to remove every hindrance, distraction from our heart and our mind. And we pray, God, that you would speak to us. Help us, Lord, to be eager to not only be a hearer of the word of God, but to be a doer of the word of God. I pray that Jesus Christ would have the preeminence through the preaching of the word, meet every need. God, we're aware of some needs that we have, but Lord, there's even some needs that we're not even aware of. I pray that you would bring those to the surface and meet those needs through your spirit and through your word tonight. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brandon, for the reading of the scripture to us. And I'm going to ask you to hold your place there. We're going to come back here, and I want to go back to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Malachi, chapter 3. If you turn back there, I want to review and bring you up to 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. Malachi, chapter 3. This morning, we were talking about, well, how to get the windows of heaven open. God wants to pour out a blessing. I want you to listen very carefully, make a few comments, and these are things that I've seen over 35 plus years of ministry. And I think many of you that have been saved have said, you know what, I've seen them too, Pastor, and you have. If you've been in church on a regular basis, the things I'm going to say to you, you've seen it, possibly even experienced it more than once in your life. The most important thing that any church could do, any Christian could do, is tell someone about Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing you can do for someone. A church is really not even fit to be called a church if that church is not trying to get people saved through getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out. You know, back in, I think it was around the 80s, 1980s, somewhere in there, there was this term that was coined, social gospel. And it was kind of coined around this fact that a lot of churches had become more like a social gathering or a country club and not a church. There was very little, if any, preaching going on. There was no stand against sin. It's just the church kind of became like a gathering place and like any other community event. And it's really hurt. It's really hurt the cause of Christ. A church needs to be getting the gospel out. One of the things that we try to do here at Fellowship, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and with the help of God, everything that we do, listen, we can have a pine car derby. We want to give the gospel. If we were to bring in an ice cream truck and park it out here and start giving ice cream away to the people in the community, I want somebody standing by that ice cream truck with some gospel tracts giving out the gospel. If you're going to do something as a church, we're a church. Amen. We're not some community center. We're not some social club. This is the church of the living God. Amen. The greatest thing we can do to impact anyone's life is to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we cross many people's paths in our lifetime, many people. I will tell you a person you will never, ever forget, the person that led you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. You'll never forget that person. Amen. I well up thinking about the man who led me to Christ. You'll never forget him. You'll never forget him. I think about the little girl. She didn't lead me to Christ. She just pointed me in the direction. But I think about the man who came to my home after I got under such deep conviction and showed me from the Bible how I could be saved in the grace of God. I'll never forget him. Never. Hadn't seen him in many years. But his face, even as I'm talking to you, is an image in my mind right now. The greatest thing you or I could ever do for any individual is tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, right after that, and I want you to listen carefully. You knew that. One of the greatest things after that, if not the greatest thing, that you can teach someone, that I as a pastor can teach you, is what it means to give. The happiest people I've ever met in my life were Christians who knew how to give. Christians, see, by nature, we're stingy. By nature, we're stingy. You've seen it. You have children. You did it when you was a child. Mine! Mine! You know what I mean? Boy, children clench their fists, and we just, by nature, we're not really what would be considered a giving people. But can I tell you, the Holy Ghost of God can change that. He's changed it in my life. He's changed it in yours. The greatest thing I can do for you and you can do for others is to teach people what it is to give. Now, I want you to think about this, okay? Think about this. We're going to go back in just a moment. I hope you held your hand there because I want you to do that now. We'll get here to Malachi in a minute. I thought about this. I thought about it this evening. I thought about God showed me that he loved me by giving. For God so loved the world that he what? Let's say that again. For God so loved the world that he
gave.
God is a giver. And the way he showed me he loved me is he gave. He gave the greatest gift that could ever be given. How could we ever forget that? How could we not learn from that experience? Now that's God's love. And then Jesus Christ showed his love. I mean, Ephesians chapter 5, don't turn there. Ephesians chapter 5 says, husbands, love your wives. Even also as Christ loved the church and what?
Gave.
Jesus did what?
Gave.
So God the Father showed his love by giving. God the Son showed his love by? How does God want you to show your love? Look if you would in 2 Corinthians just a moment in chapter 8. Look if you would in verse number 8. The Apostle Paul writing to the churches, at the church there at Corinth concerning the churches in Macedonia said this. He said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the what? Sincerity of your love. You want to prove that you love? Give.
Amen.
Give. I love the church. Give. I love the ministry. Give. I love missions. Give. Right? I love sinners. Give. That's what Paul said. So God showed his love by giving. Jesus showed his love by giving, and now you show your love by giving. Giving, that's the way you show your love. Giving. Giving, I believe that there's really no greater way than to show that we are like God than when we're giving. And so we go back into Malachi. Many years ago, I heard a man say this. As we're in Malachi 3, we're going to talk about, again, giving. And it's so that God, we don't give just to be blessed. We don't give to get, but we give because it's in our heart. Now, how do you get a giving heart? Now, please listen to me. How do you get a giving heart? How do you get that? Does that just happen? Do you just get saved and automatically start giving? No. A giving heart has to be cultivated. Now, please hear me now, okay? There are many people that are saved who don't have a giving heart. I'm not saying there's any here. I'm just saying that there are people. You've met them. I've met them. Perhaps it's been so in your life. All right? I don't know. But there are people who are saved who do not have a giving heart. And you say, well, you know, I don't have as a giving heart as I'd like to have. How do I cultivate a giving heart? Well, the mind grows by taking in. You take in knowledge, your mind grows. The mind grows by taking in. The heart grows by giving out. Study the Scripture. The Scripture teaches this over and over and over again. You want to cultivate a giving heart. You want your heart to grow bigger and bigger and more. Listen, if there's any area of my life I want to be liberal, I want it to be my heart in giving. And I mean that. I want to be generous. I want to be giving. I want to be liberal in my giving. Now, I want to be prudent, right? You don't be prudent. You don't just be throwing around money. That is a liberal heart, a true liberal heart. I'm talking about a generous heart. And so the mind grows by taking in. As you take in knowledge, your mind expands, it grows, your knowledge grows, your awareness. But the heart grows by giving out. The Bible teaches that. The way you cultivate a giving heart is just give. Just believe God and give. And then keep giving. And then keep giving. And keep giving. Here in Malachi chapter 3, the first thing that we notice is you've got to recognize your failure. Now, maybe there's some folks here, I don't know. Listen, brother, and we're going to recognize some people here tonight, okay? Brother Tracy and Sister Angela, Brother Benny, these folks probably know who gives. I mean, they do the books. They can testify. I've been the pastor here for 16 years next month. I've never one time went to either of them and said, hey, tell me who gives. I don't want to know who gives. I don't. I don't trust myself. I tell you, there's just some things you don't want to know about people. You just don't. You think you do until you know it, and then you're sorry you know it. You know, God's just given me that much wisdom. If I don't have any wisdom in other areas, God has taught me, son, there's some things you don't want to know about people. You don't want to know. You think you do until you know it. And then it affects you in a way that you wish you wouldn't have known it. It's kind of like a sin in your life. You think you want to do it. You're just sure you want to do it until you do it. And then you're sorry you did it. Right? That's the way sin is sometimes. Yeah. And so I don't look at the books. I don't. I don't look at the books. But I sure am thankful. I sure am thankful that God taught me years ago to recognize my failure in this area. I got teaching and I began to ask questions. I've come to the place where I want to do this right. If you are not clear on doing this the biblical way, you need to get some help. You're robbing yourself of a blessing. If the windows of heaven are not open to you, there's a reason why. And so I just want to encourage you. First step, remember, you've got to recognize your failure. Number two, you've got to renew your fellowship, right? What did he say? He said, return unto me. Look in verse number 7. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. You say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to attend church, but I'm not going to tithe. You're not going to get right with God, and your fellowship's not going to be restored. Just trying to help you. Just trying to help you. Remember what I said this morning? It's a biblical truth. It's a biblical truth. The way back is at the place of departure. That's the way you get back. That's what he told them. They asked the question. They said in verse number 7, the latter part, they said, wherein shall we return? He said, well, you've robbed me. That's where you start. You start getting back where you left. In this instance, it was tithing and offerings, wasn't it? It was. And so renew your fellowship, okay? Renew your fellowship. The point of departure is the point of return. Don't forget that. You're robbing God, but I'm going to tell you something. You're robbing yourself. You're robbing yourself of a blessing. God said, you prove me in verse number 10. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. Now, either God is telling the truth or God's a liar. And it's impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. So either you believe that or you don't. Either I believe that or I don't. You say, well, you know what? I'm not going to do it. You're going to miss the blessing. You're going to miss the blessing. And I really want you to be blessed. I want all God's people to be blessed. You say, are you telling me that God won't bless me? I'm not saying that at all. I will say this. You're missing blessings that you could be receiving if you'd be obedient in this area of your life. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying if you're not, you need to recognize your failure. You need to renew your fellowship. Then the third thing we talked about this morning was releasing your finances. And he said, number one, he said in verse number 10, bring them. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Remember, we talked about that. It's the same word that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Lay in store. This actually, Nehemiah, if you'll look in Nehemiah, we may tonight, but if we don't, Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 44, Nehemiah chapter 13, Nehemiah did this. He even set up treasures over the treasury. It's called the treasury, but if you look that word up, same word as this word, storehouse. Same word. He put people over it, just like we have people over finances at Fellowship Baptist Church. Do you know who's over the finances here? We're going to talk about that. Because tonight I want to publicly commend them for the great job they do. A ministry is only as strong as the integrity of the people that lead it and the integrity of the people who account for the finances of that ministry. You take those two things away, and I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter how dynamic, it doesn't matter how charismatic, it doesn't matter how talented, you take those two things away, you don't have much of a ministry. You just don't. And so I praise God for those who handle the money, who come around and help. As Brother John said, we'll talk a little bit more about that. So releasing your finances, there's a proportion. We talked about the tenth, and that's what the tithe is. We talked about it being established. It's not, you know, people say, well, that's the law. No, it was before the law. Jesus commended it after the law, right? That's a starting place. And then there's a designated place. He said, you bring all. See, he said, release your finances. You bring all your tithes, that's the proportion, into the storehouse. That's the place. Right? Is that right, Christian folks? Yeah. So I think I'm going to send mine to the Billy Graham ministry. Listen, I'm not throwing off on that. Don't know anything about it, really. But your tithe does not belong to the Billy Graham ministry. Your tithe doesn't belong to some radio ministry, some live stream ministry. Your tithe belongs to the local church. And you're robbing God if you don't do it that way. You say, oh, no, I can give my tithe anywhere I want to give it. Well, you be sure to send me after the service and prove your point from the Scripture. And I'm not saying you would. I'm just saying, listen, you can't. You cannot. God said, you bring your tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat. Where? Look at it. In mine house. That's right. And he said, there's not under proportion. He said, there's a place. But he said, there's a purpose for it. And the purpose is that there would be meat. I want to provide for the Levites. I want to provide for the people that work in the temple. That's what he's saying. And I want to provide that the ministry may go forward. That's exactly why we bring our tithes into the storehouse. So it's very important. Now, I want to say this, and then I have one more thing, and we'll move on. This is just a starting place. The tithe is really not given. It's returned. I want you to hear me now. It's returned. The tithe's not given. It's returned. Unto God. God entrusted with us, and he said, I want you to return it back. The offerings now you can give. The offerings above the tithe. Someone asked me a good question this morning. I'm happy for the young man came to me, and he asked me with sincerity. He said, I want to make sure I got this right in my mind now. He said, now, the tithe is the tenth, right? He said, I don't give that to missions. He said, that's not that. I give over that which is the offering to missions. He said, is that right? And I said, it is. He said, okay, I just wanted to make sure. See, I appreciate that. Here's a young man that's already saying, I want to get this settled in my mind how God wants this. And it doesn't matter if you're at Fellowship Baptist Church. God may move you to another Bible-believing church across the country, maybe to another nation. This works for any church, anywhere, anytime. Amen. Because it's the Bible. Amen. It's the Bible. And so God said, you bring my tithe into my house that my work might be done in my way. That's what he said in this verse of Scripture. All right? Now, here's the blessing. Here's the real blessing. So we've got the recognizing of your failure. You've got to realize, hey, I've got a little problem in this area, and I need some shoring up. The only way you're going to correct something is admit I need some help. I need to shore up some things. I need to tighten up in this area. You can listen, you can fight it and dispute it all you want. It's not going to change what God says. Don't let pride get in the way of robbing you of the windows of heaven being open. Don't nail the windows of heaven with your pride. Please don't do it. So many have in the past. Don't you do that. Okay, number two, renew your fellowship. Renew your fellowship. You see, these people, I want you to notice what he said here. This is often overlooked in this passage of Scripture. These people had gotten away from the Lord. Look at verse number 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from mine. Look at that next word. It's plural. Ordinances. But where did he tell them to return to? The tithe. It began when they quit giving. And when they lost that fellowship in their giving, they began to lose a greater fellowship in other areas of their life. Don't you do that. Listen, don't think you can plow around this area of stewardship and maintain fellowship. You can't do it. You can't do it. There has to be a proper way in the way we approach our giving to God in order to maintain that fellowship that God wants to maintain in order to get the blessings of heaven as the windows of heaven are opened upon us. As I said this morning, I don't think there's anyone at Fellowship Baptist Church that would say, now, preacher, I don't want that. I think we all do. Let's look at this final thing. I didn't mention this morning. I'll just make one note about this. I'll mention two things in one note. Restore your fruitfulness. Look what God said he'll do. You say, now, preacher, I've been given, and I'm still driving the same old car. You know, I've been tithing. I've been in the same house for 25 years. When am I going to get that mansion? Well, wait a minute now. Notice what God said he would do here. Number one, there's two things he said he would do. He said, number one, he said, I'll renew your faith. Look what he said here in verse number 10. He said, I want you to underline this. Prove me. Prove me. God's going to renew your faith. God said, you put me to the test. I'm going to show you that I will do what I say I'll do. When we begin to realize, really believe God's going to do what he said he was going to do. I don't mean talk it, brother. I mean in your heart, believe it. God is going to do what he said he was going to do. He said, prove me. It'll renew your faith. And as your faith begins to grow, it'll go into other areas of your life. You'll begin to pray different. You'll begin to witness different. You'll begin to carry yourself differently. It's just, God said, I will renew your faith to where your trust will grow in me as you begin to re-exercise and return in this area of your life. And then the second thing he said he would do, he said, I'll rebuke your foes. Look at verse number 11. The first thing he said he would do is he would renew your faith in verse 10. He said, just prove me. Put me to the test, and I'll show you what I'll do. But then verse number 11, he said, I'll rebuke your foes. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delight, a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. God said, not only will I add to you, I'll keep things from being taken from you. That's right. God said, I'll rebuke the devourer. I'll not only renew your faith, I'll rebuke your foes when you get right in this area of your life. Now, I take that very serious, and I believe you do too. This is just a reminder. Now I want to go to, okay, so preacher, go to 2 Corinthians, and I just want to give you some thoughts here. I preached this message at the church before. This is a reminder to you. I preached this message back to the church in looking at the wrong notes. It had today's date. This was this morning's outline. I said, man, I preached this then? Hey, man. Told you. It's happening. March of 2015. I remember you. How many of you remember me preaching that message, March 2015? Hey, man. Some of you say, I do. Okay. I want to talk to you about the proper way to handle what's brought into the storehouse. It's right here. You go to the book of Nehemiah, and I challenge you to do this now. Chapter 12 and chapter 13. Nehemiah set this up. He established it. And I believe what Paul's doing is just following this. I want to give you some things so you'll know what happens. Do you know what happens when money's brought into Fellowship Baptist Church? You say, sure I do. They go back there and count it, and then they just start writing checks. Oh, my goodness, there's so much more than that. There's so much more than that. We have a finance committee. You know who's on the finance committee at Fellowship Baptist Church? Not that it's important. There's three men here that's mentioned on the finance committee. Only one of them gets a name. Do you know that? Look, if you would, and this is what Paul's talking about, by the way. He's talking about the finance committee. He said in verse number 16, he said, but thanks be to God which put the same earnest care in the heart of Titus for you. Paul's talking about a gift. This gift that he's talking about is grace. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God which bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. What was that grace? It was the giving. It was the offering. 10 times. Count them. Not while I'm preaching. The word grace is mentioned here. All 10 times is referring to the money, to the offering. It's a grace. That's where we get the term grace giving. All right? And so he says here, I want to talk to you in verse number 19 of chapter number 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, with this offering, with this money, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. He said, we were put in management, we were put in administration over this gift, this money, this grace that you gave. And he said, here's some men. And he said, these men were carefully chosen. Did you know that Fellowship Baptist Church has a finance committee that was carefully chosen? Not just people that we just picked out of thin air and said, you know what, this person comes on a hit and a miss, or this person doesn't care about saved people, or this person doesn't care about the welfare of the church, so I think they'd be a good fit for the finance committee. Not at all. Not at all. As a matter of fact, if you're on the finance committee, I want you to stand up. I want folks to see you, and I've got something I want to say to you. Stand up, our finance committee, stand up. These men meet oftentimes for hours. Hours. I think our meeting yesterday, was it 4 hours? 4 hours. Okay? We're going to meet again. Then we'll bring it to the staff, and then we'll bring it to you for approval. We're proposing. Now, I want these men to stay standing, and I want you to, at some point, you're on the finance committee. Amen. Yeah. Y'all don't want to be on the finance committee anymore? We can cut you, brother. These men are on the finance committee. Listen, it's important. It is important. These are men that I term men of integrity. Men of integrity. Tracy, by the way, is not standing back there just because he's tired of sitting. He's on the finance committee. He's the chair of the finance committee. Okay? What's that mean? Well, it just means that he kind of moderates the meeting. And he puts a whole lot of stuff together. Amen. So these men are on the finance committee. So, well, they handle the money. Not all of it. Now, if you handle money at Fellowship Baptist Church, I want you to stand to your feet. See, there's more. That's right, Brother Greg. Stand up, Brother Calvin. Sister, you might want Sister Buffy to stand up beside you. Brother Allen, Sister Sharon, Sister Angela, Brother David. You see? So please don't think, well, there's a couple of people that go back there and count the money, and then we start stroking checks, and you know, bingo, it happens. Not at all. Brother Dan, look around you, all right? Because the Bible says that you need to be commending these people. Did you know that? The Bible says if you, and I'm going to read it to you right here in just a moment. It says if you've got people in your fellowship that are taking care of the money with integrity and carrying out God's will with the finances of the church, you need to tell them, we sure do appreciate you. We appreciate you. Thank you for what you do. Because you're helping this ministry stay above board and honest in the sight of God and man. I know as your pastor, I sure do appreciate you. And I believe that every member in here does. I do. Thank you, men. You can be seated. And ladies, thank you. I want to tell you a few things about these folks, and then I'll close tonight. All right? I want you to notice some things that we should be looking for in people who handle the money in a church. Can I tell you that one of the greatest preachers that ever preached was Billy Sunday? How much you know about the story of Billy Sunday? See, a lot of people know that Billy Sunday used to crack chairs over the pulpit when he preached, and he thundered, and literally hundreds of thousands, if not more, got saved under his ministry. Did you know that Brother Billy Sunday's ministry came under great great suspicion because of the misappropriation of funds. Did you know that? Do the research. Oh, it's so. See, he got so caught up in preaching, he got so caught up in carrying out the main business that he forgot to or overlooked putting people over a very important part of the ministry, and that is the finances. And because he put people that were not of the greatest integrity, there was some suspicion. Now, there never was proved that there's any real dishonesty, but it was a cloud over his ministry. And so Paul speaks about that. I want you to follow me. And this is something you can pray about. And then I want you to go to these folks and say, thank you for helping us to prove things honest in the sight of God and man. All right? Number one, the selection. Notice what Paul did here when he talked about this selection. He said in verse number 16, he said, but thanks be to God which put the same earnest care in the heart of Titus. Amen. Now here's the only one that's named. He said, that's old Titus. He said, you know old Titus. He said, old Titus is proven, tried and proven. Good man of God. Pastor who stuck it out in Crete, right? Who stuck it out there and just doing a great work. And he said, he was a part of this mission or of this finance committee. And he said, he was a man of integrity. But I want you to notice something that Paul said that really means something. Okay? He said, when he mentioned Titus, he said that Titus was a man that, well, he said, you know of him, you know his record, you know that Titus was a saved man, that he had the things of God in interest. You've got to get those kind of people in your finances. People that are saved, people that understand the function of the church, people understand what the main business of the church is. It's getting the gospel out. Notice again what he said in verse number 18. And we have sent with him the brother. Hey, man, I like that. The brother. Didn't call his name. But notice what he said about him. Whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Isn't that a great testimony? He said, there's something you should know about this guy. He loves the Word of God. That's the people you want handling the money at your church. People that love the Word of God. Say amen with me, brethren. People that love the Word of God. You know why? People that love the Word of God will stick to the Word of God. And when it comes to every area of life, we ought to stick to the Word of God, in particular when it comes to how the finances are handled. It's very important. Very important. He said, and we have sent with him, meaning Titus the brother, whose praise is throughout, is in the gospel throughout all the churches. See, when we meet, we don't meet and talk about how we're going to finance some social gathering or how we're going to support something that has nothing to do with the gospel. We meet and we go over, and as Brother John mentioned in his testimony, we begin to look at, this is something that's going to get the gospel out. This is something that's attached to the church and the gospel and getting people saved and impacting people's lives. This man right here, Titus, and this brother right here, whose praise is in the gospel. That's the kind of folks you want handling the money. Look, if you would, what else he said. And Paul said in verse 19, and not only that, but who also is chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Now I want you to move down to verse 22. We're going to come back to verse 20 and 21 in a moment. He said, and we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. He said, now here's a third person. You see what Paul's saying? He's saying the people that you have handling the money, you ought to have confidence in them. They ought to be diligent in what they do. They ought to love the Word of God. They ought to love the gospel. They ought to want to get people saved. Amen. So that way you don't have somebody sitting there saying, I don't think we ought to give any more money to the bus ministry. I think we need to shut the bus ministry down. I tell you right now what I think ought to be shut down. You. Amen. That's right. Amen. But see, if you get folks that's not like this, that's what'll happen at your finance meetings. Listen to me, brethren. Well, I don't know now. I can think of a lot more money we could do, a lot more things we could do with this money than give it to missionaries. I mean, you do know that some of those folks are just laid out on beaches over there, just vacationing all the time. Mm-hmm. I know there's some folks that go where angels fear to trod too. And who have laid their life on the line for the cause of Christ. And I refuse by the grace of God to allow what a handful of folks that are not even worthy to be called by the name of Christ that would just take God's money and do that. I'm going to tell you, they're going to stand before God one day now, just like me and you. But I refuse to let that handful stop me and this ministry by the grace of God from supporting the many around the world that are going with a heart full that God has burdened their heart to win those people that God has sent them to. See, so it's important who you get handling your money is what I'm saying. It's important. And Paul said, now you watch now. He said, we chose Titus, a man who was pastor, a man who has been through some hard times over there in Crete, a man who has withstood some people and knows what it is to fight some fights and some battles. And we also chose that brother in verse 18 whose praise is in the gospel, somebody who loves the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and just loves to hear it preached and see people get saved. We want people handling the money that wants to see people get saved, amen, you see. Because if you don't, you'll have folks wanting to spend the money on things that really don't amount to nothing when this life is all over. We want our money to bring eternal dividends. Amen. Amen. Then look at verse number 22. And we have sent with them, who? Titus and our other brother in verse 18. He said in verse 22, we sent with them to our brother, who we have oftentimes proved diligent. We proved them. We just didn't pick somebody out of thin air and say, you know what? You've been coming here a long time. You get on the finance committee. Amen. You handle the money. You've been here the longest. Wait a minute. Paul said, we proved that brother. Now, what he said, brethren? You see how important it is? Folks say, well, you know, preacher, I just give it and whatever y'all do with it, that's on y'all. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says you need to be a part of the process of understanding where your money goes, what your money, what's done with your money. You need to know who's handling your money. It's God's money, but you need to know who's handling it and how it's being dispersed. That's why we provide financial reports. That's why we do a budget every year. We do a budget every single year. You say, well, you know, I really don't know much about that. Well, you need to get involved and find out. We're transparent with every bit of it. Know what's done with God's money. It's very important. It's the way that a ministry maintains integrity. I can't tell you how many ministries that I've seen in these 35 plus years of ministry. I can't tell you how many ministries that I've heard that were just disregarded, wasn't taken seriously because of misappropriation of funds. Hiding stuff, under the table kind of stuff. Brethren, that just ought not to be. That's all I can say. That just ought not to be. Let me finish up here. My time is up. Say, preacher, why should we do that? Well, we should do it because verse 20 and 21 says, in verse 20, he said, here's a negative. He said, you ought to do it to avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. You know, the church ought to do things above board and with transparency so that no one could point their fingers. I tell you what, a bunch down there at Fellowship Baptist Church, they're crooks. They're crooking us. Isn't that what Paul said? He said, avoid it. He said, avoiding this, that no man should blame us. We'll be above reproach and blame, especially when it comes in this matter of church finances. And then he said, on the positive side, in verse number 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. See, that's the positive side. The negative side is to avoid some things, but the positive side is to provide some things. This is what this is speaking of. Got to get the right people handling your money. Then finally, and again, I've asked the men and the women to stand up who handle the money. Notice what Paul said here. He said in verse number 23, whether do any inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren, be inquired of. In other words, these people that are handling the money, you see, that's part of the finance committee, that's part of handling the money of the church, the treasury. You see what he's saying here? Everybody understand what's being said? See, I think sometimes folks say, well, y'all just make this stuff up. Baptists have a way they do it. No, we want to do it this way, right here. We'll do everything we do based on this book right here. I made up my mind a long time ago. God, if you'll help, I want to do what this book says right here. Can't go wrong doing what this book says. Can't go wrong now. And so he said, if any do inquire of Titus, he's my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or of the brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Now watch this now. He said, because they are of the integrity and because they are who they are, here's what you should do as fellow believers. Watch it now, verse 24 in our close. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love. When people are willing to give of their time and pour in their effort and to help and to maintain the finances of the church, and they do it in such a way that it's orderly and it's set, be sure to go to them and say, listen, I just want to thank you. Brother Calvin, Sister Buffy, thank you for helping the junior department, the money that comes in there. You give a finance report every single month of what comes in to the juniors, what goes out. Thank you. Thank you. You see? Brother Allen, Sister Sharon, thank you. Everything that goes into the youth, everything that's channeled in there, is every dollar's accounted for of what goes into the youth account, what's spent out of the youth account, it's accounted for. There's financial statements for every penny that's spent, itemized statements. Brother David, thank you for the good job you do with the missions. Thousands of dollars go into it, checks written out of it by Sister Angela, Brother Tracy. It's these things are important. And if we're not careful now, if we're not careful, we'll just take it for granted. Sometimes when you have it good and when you think, well, you know what, things like that just happen, you lose sight of, well, no, there's people who are working hard behind the scenes so that it will happen. I want to say a special thank you to Brother Tracy and Sister Angela, Brother Benny. Over the years, such high integrity to these folks. Brother Dan, Brother Greg, through the Sunday school, money just comes into this and it's just allocated out. Every penny's accounted for. Brethren, that's important. You know that's important. And let's not lose sight of it. Let's not get lax in this area. Let's not get lax. I'm going to ask you if you would to stand. I just felt like that God would have me to bring, it's just simple truth. But it's a biblical truth, and it's a truth that I fear that we don't think of enough. To where we just think, well, you know what? We give our money, and I know where some of it goes. Well, you know, you can know where every penny of God's money goes. Because it's transparency. I tell you, when a church begins to try to withhold information about finances, red flag. Red flag. You always keep that in mind. All right? Doesn't matter who the pastor is. If it's me, I'm not above this book right here. This book is final authority, brethren. And all that we do in faith and practice, this book right here is final authority. And so please keep that in mind. See, God may call me away. I don't know. And if he does, you'll want to make real sure that this book is followed and that the things that's in place here is carried out with the integrity and with the consistency and with the honesty in which it's carried out now. And if there's a crack in the foundation and you see it, you come to me and say, Pastor, I've noticed this about this and that. We can sit down and talk. We're not perfect. We just ask God to be our helper. And you come in the right spirit, we can talk. Let's bow our heads together. I sure am thankful. As the pianist begins to play, I sure am thankful that God, number one, gives us a recipe to have the windows of heaven open. I'm thankful for that. Number two, I'm sure am thankful that God, I'm glad that God just tells us this is the way I want you to do it. I want you to get men that have been proved, men that are diligent, men that care about souls, men that are saved. Our brother, he kept referring to our brother, saved people that have a concern about getting people saved.